What a great group. What a great group. They're going to be confirmed next month. I think this is our new bishop, Siegel, I believe is going to be coming here to do that. I think this is going to be his first time he does confirmation here in our diocese. We're not sure if we're going to give him directions out here to the west side, you know. We're sort of protective about that, but we might let him know so he can come out here. But you know what? Sometimes, you know, when you're talking about confirmation, you think, oh, God, you know, what is all of this? And what kind of hoops are you going to make me jump through? And what's this all about? But, you know, we have some wisdom. By we, I mean all of us. We've kind of been around the block a few times. And we have some wisdom to share. And not just us, but the whole Christian community. We have some wisdom to share about life and death. And it's important to kind of have some wisdom, because I was going to tell you a story. A mother told me this story about she had a son, I think he was like, I'm not sure if he was a freshman or a sophomore, and he got in trouble at school. Guys, you know what happened. He was in PE class, and guys being guys, you horse around, and somebody does something to somebody else, and somebody does that same thing to somebody else. Well, he was the last one that did it, and he got caught. And so, got sent to the principal's office, and they called his mother, and mothers always love to hear that. This principal, you need to come. And it's like, oh gosh, you know. So he came, and the principal said, you know, he did this and this and this, and he's going to have to serve a 3-day suspension. It's like, oh God, oh God. You know, it was the mother was going to go to her son. If you think it's hard for the son to face your mother, you think it's the mother is going to go face her son and say, oh God, what am I going to say to my kid here? And she goes and she says, before I knew it, I had blurted out, you know, what were you thinking when you did that? And the greatest line, this is what the guy said. The guy said, Mom, what makes you think I was thinking at all? You know? And it's like, been there, done that? Huh? What makes you think you were thinking at all? You know, I think about that because, you know, if we in life don't really think about who we are and what we do and how we want to be in life, we can get really messed up. You know, if you don't have any anchors in life, you can get really messed up. You know, and then when that happens, then you get to be like, who is it, Matt Lauer? Or who is Charlie Rose? Or somebody else, you know, and they come up and women come up and they say they need these things, and you think, what were you guys thinking? What is the matter with you? You know? And part of the thing that happens is when you don't have any center in life, when you don't have anything that anchors you, then you go off and we do stupid things, you know? And so part of what confirmation is all about, part of this whole thing about being Catholic, what this is all about is like learning to have some anchors in life. Something that's going to sustain you. Now, you know, I'm looking at all of you, and I'm trying to look at the world and where the world is going to be 40 years from now, when you are going to be in your 60s. We have no idea what that world is going to be like. I mean, everything is changing so rapidly. And this is the world that you are all entering into. And although we may not know what the world is going to be like, One of the things that we can say is there's some things that can serve as your anchors no matter what happens, no matter what kind of changes there are. These things will serve as anchors. They have been anchors for people who have been seeking truth, people of faith. They have been these anchors for all of history. And these are the things that we want to pass on to you. And when we think about anchors, one of the things that we think about is it's like, boy, if you want to find a life that is fulfilling, find a life that you can say find meaning in your life. One thing that you're going to have to learn how to do is it's like you got to be open to the fact that life is really messy. It's just messy, and it's sometimes hard to deal with messiness. You know, thinking about all these people who've been in the news because of all their sexual indiscretions. Probably one of the first was Bill Cosby. I remember when I was growing up, you listen to all these people, listen to Bill Cosby, he was funny. He was really funny. He was. And then he had this great show, The Cosby Show, talked about family and all that. And you listen to him talk. He came here to Evansville and talked. And he said some great things. He said some great things. And then all of a sudden you hear about it's like, yeah, and then you did this. And you say, how do you put those two together? See, now, part of the wisdom is you have to learn how to put things together that seem very messy. Because nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. And people can do something that is incredibly good and something that is incredibly stupid and then come out of the same person. And you know, a lot of times we look at that and we say, well, how could they do that? Part of the wisdom is when we look at our lives and we say, boy, you know, I can do some really good things. And I can turn around and be like that kid, Mom, what makes you think I was thinking at all? You know, the same person. And closely connected with this is like you got to learn how to practice forgiveness. Now, I don't mean forgiveness like, I beat up my brother, or I disobeyed my mother, or I disobeyed my father, or I took something that didn't belong to me. You don't do those things, okay? Those things aren't going to get you anywhere, okay? But forgiveness is way beyond that. Forgiveness is like it's like being able to look at life and say, life's not perfect. Man, why does this happen? I could talk about them because they're not here. Now, I don't mean it that way, but they'd be embarrassed if I talked about it. You know Kevin and Carrie Hartz? You know little Kinsey? Remember Kinsey? Kinsey, they were at Mass earlier this morning. Kinsey's, I think she's about your age. Was she in your first communion class? Yeah, remember that? What's fair about her life? Honest to Pete, what is fair about that? You know, why did that happen to her? Why didn't it happen to you? Why didn't it happen to me? There's nothing fair about that. There's nothing fair. Life is pretty inconsistent. It's terrible, you know? There are all kinds of things that are gonna happen. I was thinking about a couple of years ago when your cousin got killed. What's fair about that? Here you are, everything's wonderful, and yeah, You know? And so, now, what will happen to most people is when that happens, we end up asking questions and we say, well, why did that happen? Why did that happen? Who's to blame? Who's to blame? Or what happens to a lot of people of faith, we think God is somebody up there who just manipulates everything, and then we say, well, what kind of God is that if he allows that to happen? And so we get mad, and we just say, I don't have anything to do with it anymore. The truth is, life is going to be terribly inconsistent. You know? Some of you in the next coming years, probably most of you, are going to get married. And you know, when you find somebody that you're going to get married to, I love it. I love it when they're first, you know, you look at people when they're in love, and it's just wonderful. And they look at their spouse and they say, oh, you're so wonderful. And she looks at him and says, God's gift to the world. How am I so blessed? And you think, well, I would never do anything to hurt him. I would never do anything to hurt her. Listen to all the couples who've been married. why do we do that? You know? The person that you love, you turn around and you look at them and say, what in the world was I thinking when I got married to you? You know, it's like, how did that happen? How did that happen? It's like, we are inconsistent. We're not perfect. And so it's like, how can we live with life being inconsistent? Because one of the things that's going to happen is when I go up and look at my life, it's like, my life's pretty inconsistent too. And yet God comes into that inconsistent life, into that messy life, and he brings life to others. The other thing, and I'd share this with you. Boy, this is so important. You know, because when you're at this age and you say, boy, if I could think about the things I'd like to do on a Sunday morning and I rank them, probably coming here to church doesn't even make the top 10 list. You know? Because we're going through this stage. It's like, everybody tells me I got to do this. How they got to tell me this? I don't want to listen to any of you. Forget it. And believe me, everybody's gone through that stage. Now, I don't mean to say that to belittle this, because you got to go through this stage. But one of the things that happens is we kind of think in this time that it's just about me. It's about what I want. It's about what makes me feel good. It's about what's going to be there for my benefit. And if I don't see any benefit in there, then I say, well, why should I even be there? And the great piece of wisdom, and Mother Teresa talked about this, and she wasn't the first one, but so many other people said, you know, if you really wanna get someplace in life, you gotta realize that you have to give your life over to something bigger. It's gotta be more important than how many pair of shoes you got, how many clothes you got, what kind of job you got to get, and how much money that's going to make, and how big a house you can build when you get that job. It's like, you know, that ain't going to do it. You know, now, unfortunately, all of us as adults, we haven't been the best of models for that. Because, you see, there are so many of us, we're still chasing that dream. We keep thinking, it's going to do it. This may not have, but if I get this, it'll do it. Or if I have this kind of place, or if I have just this bigger place, or if I have this, we still keep chasing that dream. We haven't even learned it ourselves. So it's difficult to look at you and say, you got to learn that. But the truth is, unless, Mother Teresa said, unless your life is lived for other people, unless you make room in your life for other people, you're not gonna, your life isn't going to be worth a plug nickel. It's not going to have any meaning. It's not going to have any sustenance. It finds sustenance when you can be there for others. And even now, and I say this to people because a lot of times people, you know, they'll come to me and they'll say something like, oh, you know, I guess because they think I'm kind of into church and all that kind of stuff, they say, I know, Father, I go to church more, but I don't. I really ought to go to church more. And what I always want to remind people of is, you know, when you come, you think you're coming here, and it's like, okay, Dad, you got me here, all right, when is this over? Get out of here, you know? And you think your life here has no impact on anybody else. But you never know, because your presence here as a young man might be the very thing that somebody else needed to say, I can make it another week. I can go on. And you may never know that. You may never know that. So that your life has meaning for others, even now. Even if you look at that and you say, I can't imagine how that would affect anyone. It has meaning for others. And we need you. I need you. I need you. You know? It's kind of hard to get out here and preach, and there's nobody here. Like, oh. Franklin Roosevelt talked about leadership. He said, yeah, you can be a leader, but sometimes if you're a leader and you turn around, it's like there ain't nobody behind you. You ain't much of a leader. You know? We need each other. We need each other. We need you. And you need us. And that's why we come together. So today, we want to pray for you and just kind of surround you with our love. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask all of you, just make a straight line all the way across the front. And then moms and dads, if I'm going to invite you to come up and just stand behind your son. So wherever you're at, just come on up and stand behind your son. Yeah, you might want to spread all the way out if you can so that, yeah, everybody just kind of scoot on down. Oops, excuse me. Okay. Well, the first thing I want to say to moms and dads is I want to thank you for loving your kid and for loving them into life, you know? And I say that because parenting is not an easy task. It's hard to grow up if you're kids, but it's hard to be parents. You know, you're trying to be a good example, trying to let go, trying to provide direction, you know. It's a tough challenge. And so nobody does it perfectly. Nobody. But the fact that you show up every day and you say, I'm going to try it again, the fact that you show up is the best sign of love. So we're going to invite you, if you can, just to put your hands on their shoulder. If you're not feeling particularly fond of your child right now, I'd ask that you resist the temptation to strangle them. You know, don't want to do that. So, and then let's all stand. Let's just pray for them. We'll just extend our hands in prayer. Gracious God, look with kindness upon these young men and women as they prepare for confirmation. And bless their parents who have loved them and given them life and stand with them today. Lord, may your spirit of courage and strength and wisdom and perseverance and dedication be with them in abundance and help them to know that wherever they are in the journey of life, you walk with them always. We ask this now through Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, now I invite all of you to be seated.
Our preparation hymn is number 487, Hold On to Love. Lord, accept the offerings that we bring gathered from among the many gifts you give us, and may they gain for us your strength and life. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right, always and everywhere, to give you thanks.
When Jesus came among us as a human being, he fulfilled the plan you formed long ago and opened for us the way to salvation. Now we watch for that day, hoping that the salvation promised us will be ours when Christ our Lord will come.